go to Luke 16. Please. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear of thee, this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto them, First, how much owest thou unto thy Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he unto another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write down 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generations wiser than the children of light. This is probably the most controversial parable of all.
Yeah, he's commended for embezzlement, in a sense, yeah.
And it's tried, there's been 1,000 attempts to try to make it fit in some understanding of what you should do vis-a-vis God. Mm-hmm. Well, the issue is, this is the cutaway. He's using this to show you should be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. He's not commending. He's saying this is the thing they did. Somebody did in the terms of the worldly activity. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, then it does say in verse 8, children of this world are wiser than children of light.
So then, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into their everlasting habitations. Now, what does that mean? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation.
What's that word, everlasting habitations, mean?
It means eternity.
Eternity, okay.
Okay, let's go on. We're going to finish, then we'll talk about it. Right. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if you have been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here we have this mystery where it says, make to yourselves, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now, mammon just there, mammon of unrighteousness is riches. That when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, this is a poser. This is a... Except again, I think if it doesn't mean everlasting habitations, if it means only the everlasting as long as time lasts, that's where everlasting means a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, it does make make sense that...
Yeah, it's just another parable of being wise as a serpent.
That
it all has to do with the how you... That's why we say how you handle money is a symbol of or a metaphor for how you handle spiritual matters. The whole... If you're not faithful in that which is the unjust mammon, you can't be faithful in that which is the true riches. And so, again, herein, the idea of making to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness is what the unjust steward did. You understand?
Not yet. No.
Okay. He, at least in those three instances, maybe in many more, he made himself a friend of the mammon of unrighteousness because he said, cut your bill in half, cut your bill by 40%, whatever.
Yeah, right.
And so then that they may receive him into everlasting habitation. Now, the question is, and the big mystery is, everlasting habitation. If it means everlasting as long as time lasts, then it makes sense. If it means eternity, it doesn't make sense. So this is, I just wanted to get this far today, okay? Because this is, we're going to spend some time on this to try to make sense of it and how it has application to our lives. Okay? But I'm going to just, the rest of this, would be, this, it's in the same genre, is the real biggie. In verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And no question they derided him, because he was saying, in essence, commit fraud.
Yeah.
And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now, this is the key to understanding everything. Remember, everything in the golden cup that the whore has, everything when we go through the counting of the Omer and coming out of the 49 gates of impurity, everything that man achieve or wants to achieve or thinks is good or esteems is abomination unto God. Yeah. That's the mystery and the meaning and the coda of all of that was just said. Now, and then we go on. He said, the law and the prophets were until John. In other words, the law and the prophets had value, if you will, until John the Baptist came on the scene, because John the Baptist revealed the true meaning of the law. But anyway, that's enough for today. But it's this is an area in which it's almost impossible for us to, and it's never preached, that whatever is esteemed among men is abomination unto God.
Yeah.
And that becomes the point of reference that one must examine themselves.
That's the one that cuts deep.
So we'll go into detail in this 1 through 13. starting on Monday. All right?
All right.
That was just a preliminary thing. Take it, big guy.